Airport, 43 degrees, and on Friends Plaza in Urbana, it's 44.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Natural Gourmet. Natural Gourmet is a natural food store specializing in vitamin supplements, homeopathic remedies, and organic foods. Located at the Shops of Knollwood, their restaurant features Thai-influenced foods for eat-in or carry-out.
Today we present the last of four reports on the candidates for the new 52nd Illinois Senate District seat. Democratic incumbent Mike Frericks and Republican challenger John Babinek. And for this final report, we ask the candidates to talk about the thing that may underpin their positions on all the other issues, their views on the essential role of government. Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows reports.
Both Babinek and Frericks list similar basic responsibilities of state government: public safety, maintaining infrastructure, education, and aid to the poor and destitute. But there are nuanced differences between the candidates, as when Babinek talks about how too much government regulation can create a bad climate for business.
Many of the business owners, as I've traveled this district, say, you know, I get one regulation that says I must do X from this agency. This other agency says I must do Y, and I can't do both. But they're both telling me that I need to do this or I'm going to get fined or shut down.
Babinek contends state government's mistakes lie in overdoing things, over-regulating businesses, requiring licenses for too many professions, and in particular, overtaxing and overspending. Senator Frericks names perks for politicians as one item for which the state shouldn't be spending money, but he's reluctant to name other specific areas where state government should cut back its involvement. Instead, Frericks names an area where he wants to make funding a priority: higher education, both for the institutions themselves and for student financial aid. He says it's not just because his Senate district includes the University of Illinois, but about how a college education can transform lives.
You see, people like me who grew up in Gifford, Illinois, you know, my family wasn't very wealthy, but I was able to afford college thanks to guaranteed loans and financial aid. And I just see, as tuition costs increase year after year above the rate of inflation, eventually you're going to have kids priced out. They're not going to have access to this.
At a time when bitter partisan wrangling has become the best-known feature of politics, both Frericks and Babinek say they understand the need for compromise. Babinek points to the legislature's failure to approve state pension reform legislation as an example of politicians failing to make the switch from campaigning to governing.
We've known for years and said for years, you know, we need to do something about this. And instead of working together, there was political posturing. And now you're going to see probably a pension bill that's going to be voted on in a lame duck session by legislators who have already lost election or not running for re-election, who are going to vote who are not accountable to those voters. And I think, you know, that shows some dysfunction.
And Babinek blames the dysfunction largely on the legislative leaders. He says if elected, he'd make it clear to Republicans in the Senate that he'll only support leaders committed to truly addressing the state's economic problems. Frericks says he saw legislative leaders reaching across party lines this year to make necessary agreements to cut the budget, but he says those compromises were mostly made in the Illinois House, not the Senate. In his own chamber, Frericks says he sees more senators being elected who cater to their conservative base, refuse to compromise, and don't actually get anything done.
And I guess if you believe the government can't do anything for anyone, you might not appreciate that. But most of my constituents believe the government has a role in society. And they don't think it's the answer to all of our problems, but the government can help out those and provide a hand up and to smooth out some of the problems in our society. And those are the people who are really hurt by this sort of my way or the highway approach.
Both Frericks and Babinek say they are not one of those my way or the highway politicians and are ready to work with the other party in a practical way to get the state's business done. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
Yesterday, we heard from Decatur Mayor Mike McElroy, who is the Republican nominee in Illinois' 48th State Senate District. Today, we hear from his opponent, Democrat Andy Menar, is the Macoupin County Board Chairman. He previously worked as Chief of Staff for Senate President John Cullerton. Menar tells Illinois Public Radio's Sean Crawford that he's committed to helping solve the state's pension crisis.
We have to put the stakeholders in a room, and there has to be an honest and earnest discussion toward that effort. But we have to be serious about the fact that there's value to protecting retirement security for teachers. For other public employees, we want to make sure that we recruit the best and the brightest to go into the classroom and to teach our children. I have three children in public schools, and I want to make sure that the best and the brightest people enter the profession of teaching and stay in the profession of teaching. But my record as county board chairman in Macoupin County is clear. And actually, you could take a step back before that. When I was the mayor of Bunker Hill, when I was elected at a young age to that position, my predecessor took a pension, and I did not. When I was elected county board chairman in Macoupin County, my predecessor took a pension from the county, and I chose not to do that. And that's something that I've made a decision on in this race, that I think we should concentrate on efforts in the legislature to making sure that retirement security for teachers and public employees is protected. But at the same time, you know, we're never going to get anywhere to solving a problem if we talk past each other. And I think people are willing to sit down and have an honest conversation. And I think that's what's lacking right now.
What's your vision for improving education in Illinois?
Yeah, I think this is one place where we have a real opportunity in the state. You know, we've gotten away from the argument that public education should be equal in Illinois. And the disparity gap between school districts predominantly in the northern part of the state versus school districts here in the 48th district and in central Illinois, the disparity issue is getting worse. It's not getting better. So we have to renew our effort to make sure that where a child lives doesn't determine how much is invested in that child's education. And I live in a small community, south of Springfield, and we face many of the same problems as District 186 and other school districts across downstate Illinois. But we have to get back to this argument that we should have equality when it comes to education funding.
How about higher education? Because it's taken a lot of funding hits through the last decade or so. Would you put it in the same ballpark as elementary and secondary education? Do you think it's a different animal? And how would you go about improving funding for higher ed?
Well, I think that there's a direct correlation between state budget cuts and tuition costs. I think that's very clear. I was at Richland Community College this morning in Decatur, and I visited with any number of students who had this issue first and foremost on their mind. And they know that as the state reacts to budget reductions, those costs are shifted to students and to working families, many of which can't afford it. So one of two things happens. Either they take out more loans and they're saddled with debt they didn't intend, or they drop out. And both of those things, in my mind, are unacceptable. So we have to figure out a way to make sure that higher education funding has the resources that it needs, especially in an area where we can really zero in on job training efforts and re-education in places that need jobs right now.
Illinois has made some changes on the Medicaid program to reduce some of the costs there. What do you see as the future of Medicaid in the state of Illinois?
Well, I think this is one area where efforts in the past several years have been successful in terms of reforming the system. I think there can always be more that's done, but I think the efforts on the part of the legislature have been successful, and I think this is a testament to bipartisanship. This is a place where Republicans and Democrats sit down and try to figure out how do we move the ball down the field toward the effort of reforming the Medicaid system, and I think that can continue.
Macoupin County Board Chairman Andy Menar is the Democratic nominee in the 48th State Senate race. He's running against Republican Mike McElroy of Decatur. To hear an extended interview with Mandy Menar, visit will.illinois.edu.
Support comes from the Charleston Community Theater, presenting the first show of their season, the comedy The Hallelujah Girls. Follow the girls of Eden Falls as they convert an abandoned church into the Spotty Da this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at the Tarbell Arts Center in Charleston. Ticket information at 217-581-ARTS.
And here is the writer's almanac for Friday. It's the 26th of October, 2012. It's the birthday of Scott Russell Sanders, born Memphis, 1945. Went off to college to study physics, but once he got there, he started reading Virginia Woolf and Faulkner and James Joyce and decided that literature had the answer to the questions that interested him. He moved to Indiana with his wife, and he writes about life in the Midwest, the woods and hills of Indiana. He said, "I feel at home in this sprawling, low-lying, often neglected heartland." Scott Russell Sanders has written 20 books, novels, essays, short stories. His books include A Private History of Awe and A Conservationist Manifesto. His advice for young writers was keep a journal, not a diary, unless you want to keep a record of your daily doings, but a journal, a place where you record images, ideas, favorite passages from your reading, insights, overheard bits of conversation, drafts, and random notes. The journal is your practice room and root cellar. And it's the birthday of the early self-help writer Napoleon Hill, born in a one-room cabin in Wise County, Virginia, in 1883. He was a reporter, and when he was in his mid-20s, he was assigned to interview Andrew Carnegie, who'd grown up poor in Scotland, worked his way up in the American steel industry, became one of the richest men in the world. Carnegie told Hill that in his opinion there was a formula for success and anyone could achieve it. And he told the young man he ought to consider writing a book about the idea. So he went around interviewing hundreds of successful people. And in 1937, he published his book, Think and Grow Rich. It was enormously successful, and it still is. It has sold more than 70 million copies. Book in which he wrote, "Do not wait. The time will never be just right. Start where you stand and work whatever tools you may have at your command, and better tools will be found as you go along." Here's a poem for today by Ronald Wallace, entitled The Truth for Amy. Her breast cancer, she said, had metastasized to her liver. She was going to die, and soon. She said it made her sad. I didn't know her well. We were co-workers, and I liked her. But what do you say when someone actually answers the question, "How are you?" with the unvarnished truth? "Not well," she said. "I haven't long to live." And should I have said, "Oh, you will"? Should I have smoothed it over with the syrup of nervousness, or done what I did, which was to talk about terror and anger, the unfairness and the loss?